Blog Talk Radio. Firefly Willows LIVE presents The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring your hosts, Heisey Lutmers and Charlie Harrington.
The Amethyst Oracle.
Delve into life, death, and everything betwixt, between, and beyond.
Between and beyond.
Between and beyond.
With a queer twist.
The Amethyst Oracle. Divination with a queer twist. And now, here are your hosts, Charlie Harrington and Heisey Lutmers.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We are excited to be here. We have a couple of fun things lined up, as well as a very interesting guest that we have joining us just a little bit later in the show. And before we start, I'll just toss out some of our little contact information so you have it. You can always find us on Facebook at facebook.com/theamethystoracle. And we welcome you to come by there, give us your comments, submit questions for future guests, engage in conversation about something that maybe we talk about here on the show. We're always happy to hear from you and interact with you. We're also on Twitter at the Big Amethyst O, so feel free to follow us there if you would like. And we are offering live readings on the air. Charlie and I will be offering readings a little bit later in the show. So if you'd like to get a reading, you can either go to the show page, click the Skype button, and Skype in that way, or you can call in, and the phone number is 646-716-5510. So either of those ways will get you in, and we will be happy to try and get you on the air and give you a reading. So with all of that out of the way, let me go ahead and welcome to our show my co-host, Charlie Harrington. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Heisey. How are you doing?
I am well. And, well, I suppose here we are alive, survived. Whatever the end of the world was.
It's better than the rapture, I have to say. Like, as apocalypses go, I preferred this one.
So. Well, yeah. I think if every apocalypse is this way, then I'm good to go with whatever those apocalypses have to bring me.
And we're both living happily in the fourth dimension, as everyone predicted, and we are bereft of any small problems.
Well, that's right. I have none now. It's amazing. Suddenly I have no problems. My only disappointment, you know, I'm a big Doctor Who fan, especially the new Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And I was almost disappointed that it wasn't quite so interesting and dramatic as it seems. Every episode is practically the apocalypse on that show. But there wasn't anything quite so interesting.
You know, I feel like, you know, that's kind of like how romantic comedies make love seem so boring. Like, my life has never been as exciting as latter days. So if you think about it, it's just, you know, we've been ruined for apocalypses.
It's true. I mean, where is my Captain Jack? You know, I was waiting, fingers crossed. A few other things uncrossed, just in the hope that he might be showing up. But not this time. But that's probably just a miscalculation of the date. So I'll remain ever hopeful, with fingers crossed and other things uncrossed, for Captain Jack anytime. And I hope you had a nice holiday.
I did. And now that it's the new year, it's that time when all tarotists are obligated to be doing New Year's readings.
That is true.
Isn't that like everyone has to like post their spread for the year? And I have never been a fan of New Year's readings, because if you get a bad card, especially in the fourth quarter or so, it can be pretty bleak.
It's true, but you know what I will say to that? Because I do say this to clients. Mm-hmm. Especially when you are forecasting, predicting, or looking to the future. Mm-hmm. It's always good to keep in mind that ultimately we create our own future. And so the further we look the more opportunity we have to do something to change that future. So just because a bad card comes up, say, for the last quarter of the year, we have time to look at what it is, why it may be like that, and what we can do to act differently, decide differently, do something differently so that that doesn't become the fourth quarter card. And that's why I encourage people to do, like, if they do readings for themselves for the new year, or if you go to a reader, I encourage them either for themselves or to go back to the reader, like a quarterly check-in, like every 3 months, because you can then pull cards to look at where you've come from to see how things have progressed. But you can also pull cards for those same future periods and see, have they changed? And if so, in what way or how much? Rather, because maybe you've done something that now has altered that fourth quarter.
Mm. No, I agree. And that way you can kind of look at what crises and personal apocalypses you averted through your actions.
That's right.
See what I did there?
I did exactly a little package.
Another alternative is to not do a reading as a progression and to come up with a spread that looks at the year from a different light, which just so happens to be what we did for this
that's
show.
True, because we're so clever.
We are.
Yes, and that's actually how I generally do. It depends if a client asks and wants to kind of do the year, then I will kind of look at, say, 12 cards for each of the months to kind of get an overview of the year. But I tend to look at it more about what are the overall goals and lessons of the year, what's the overall theme of the year, because I think that's more important to understand the energies and themes and lessons we're working with, mm-hmm. rather than trying to predict, which then can cause us to just be worried and anxious about, oh, no, March is coming. That's when that bad card was. It's going to
be.
Then it becomes.
Beware the Ides of March.
So. It is true. We did come up with our own little queer the new year approach.
And I like that you pointed out that 2013, when numerologized, is 6, which tarot corresponds to the Lovers card. And so we decided to approach this year spread based on the Lovers card.
Well, that is right. And I think initially the way I look at it is I think we can look at both the number 6 as well as that Lover's card as kind of an overall theme or tenor or energy for the year. So do you know anything about numerology, like the number 6? Is there anything that you would associate with that number?
You know, I'm not always the most adept at numerology, but in tarot, I like that Mary Greer once pointed out that all of the 6s in the minor arcana show, of the Rider-Waite and most subsequent decks, show relationships and show how the relationships in the suits react to the destabilization of the five lessons that take place. And so you see people usually in unequal relationships, she pointed out. Usually people are positioned higher and lower than one another, but it seems to be a period of healing from lessons and growing from lessons.
Well, and that's because 1-6 numerologically is considered the number of love. So it's not surprising that all of the 6s would have something to do with relationship in some way because of that.
So you're saying I need 5 boyfriends?
Well, yes. And you would be the 6th, so you would bring it all together, and you would be that unifying force. And, you know, 6 is also often a number of, like, being able to take a break or a respite, being able to catch your breath, because 5 is all about change. So you've come through this really challenging period of change, and certainly 2012 had its share as a year of changes for many people and many countries. And so there is that sense of healing, because it's like being forced to stop and lay in bed when you get sick so that your body can recuperate. And that's really what a 6 kind of has energetically about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Mary Greer talks about that with the 6s in the deck. And I think that's also an energy we can in some ways look forward to this year, but also that we want to encourage people to be more conscientious about. Give yourself a break. Allow yourself some downtime. Know when you're kind of at capacity and take a moment to charge, regenerate, rejuvenate. It's okay to just take some time off and do nothing.
Right on. Be good to yourself.
And so with that corresponding to the Lovers card, what would you say about that card as kind of a indication or an energy for this year?
Well, so for me, the Lovers is an opportunity to create something even greater than yourself. It's an opportunity to bring forces together and have everyone's skills manifest something that is, you know, greater than the sum of its parts. And if last year was a 5 year and we were receiving Hierophant wisdom, then I think that this being a 6 year, it's sort of us making use of that wisdom and making use of the journey. So it's not, we're not all just philosophers, but doers of great things. And that being able to work with another person to yield when it's necessary and to give when it's necessary is what creates that greater self. And I think sometimes the heteronormative Rider-Waite-Smith card with that angel, a lot of people point to that as, look, the man is sort of our waking self, our conscious self, looking at the female, the unconscious self, and the female looks up to the angel, which is sort of this greater divine potential, and it's sort of like our conscious self needs to go deep within to connect to the divine. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor if you don't get caught up in gender norms.
Well, yes, and you bringing up the Hierophant, I think it also, it's this idea of this is a period of integrating the knowledge that we have perhaps learned or taken in, and then the Lover's card, and it makes me think with that woman looking up to the angel, that integration process now is how do I take the knowledge I have learned or gained and start to understand it in a higher way, you know, so it becomes divine wisdom rather than just earthly knowledge. And the Lover's card, I think also for me, a lot of times is about being at a crossroads and about choices. So I think that this will be a year where people will find that there are major choices to make. And really the choice is, do I keep doing things the same way because it's easy, familiar, safe, or comfortable? Or do I challenge myself to start moving in a new direction or doing something in a new way? Intuitively, we know that it's time to do that or that we need to do that. But we often are afraid to do that because we don't know exactly what the outcome will be or the destination of that will be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on astrologically that also supports that. And what people may find is the more they resist or try to stay in the familiar and comfortable, the more other forces will work to shake them up and push them out into the new that is needed, rather than stepping back and letting them be complacent and simply watching from the sidelines. And that's not to take away free will, but it'll just feel much more difficult or challenging to stick with old familiar habits, routines, patterns, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's a much better way to create a New Year's resolution than just, I'm going to the gym.
Well, exactly.
So can we take a look at the spread that we've created to sort of discern how the greater community, like you the listener, could make use of the Lover's energy this year?
No, we cannot.
Okay. Well, I tried, guys. I really did try, but he's such a monster.
And that's the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Be good to each other.
And you heard it here first. The drama, the big breakup.
There
it'll be
go.
On TMZ
that's
within...
That's when it was over. We've jumped the shark.
Just
or maybe the
TMZ.
Dolphin.
Yes. Let us look at our little spread that we came up with.
Yeah.
And I think, first, let's explain our theory.
Mm.
We came up with three positions to represent the three figures in the lover's card, the mm-hmm. man, the woman, the angel, the triangle. Mm-hmm. And then both you and I are going to pick a card for each position, which will give us a total of six cards to go with the lover's uh-huh. card being number six.
Right on.
So, yeah, I was looking at what we did, and it was such a coincidence. It worked out that way.
We're divinely ordained.
That's right. So, shall we introduce the first position?
Yes, absolutely. So the first position, these sort of have song titles, is Come Together. And that's how to best reconcile our conscious self with subconscious self to reveal and connect with the higher self. So this is the first step. This is how to embrace the other, whatever the other is for you this year. And I pulled from David Sexton, our guest today, from his Winged Spirit Tarot, I pulled the star for this position, which is the angel Fanuel. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Any angels listening in the audience, please don't take offense. Fanuel is the angel of hope and penance in his deck. And I just pulled it. And this is the angel who is able to see the face of God. And it seems a little extreme in the image. Fanuel is sort of absolutely fixated on the light of God. But I love that idea for the star card because it represents that this is seeing the divine in yourself, seeing the true face of the divine, opening yourself up to the true face of the divine is how you can come together. And part of that, I think, is also seeing yourself as worthy of this process, worthy of love in this spread, seeing yourself as able to be healed and able to take into yourself the light of love and the light of the divine, however you may interpret that.
But I think that this also is very apropos because we were talking about healing, and the star card is often seen as a card of healing. And in terms of love, it would remind us that in order to get love, we need to give love. And we don't need to be afraid of giving love because we're not going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't hold back. Don't be stingy. Don't try to ration the love that you offer, nor to how many people that you give love, versus just freely let love flow from you, and you'll be very pleasantly surprised how much love seems to flow back to you.
Cool.
The card that I got for that position was, and I have to tell you that I do reversals, so I will pay attention to how they come up, is the reversed sun. But, you know, I think that, again, this kind of touches on one of the themes we were just talking about, because when I see the sun reversed, then there's a sense of burnout. So overdoing it, overheating.
Mm-hmm.
And that the star card is so watery and so cool. I mean, think of when you see stars at night when it tends to be cooler. And so, you know, I think here there's that sense of how do I reconcile those two parts of myself? It's kind of like finding that balance of, say, work and life, or it's finding a way for those things to work in harmony and balance with each other rather than one or the other dominating each other. And you mentioned that Mary Greer points out with the sixes in the minor arcana that they all tend to indicate sort of an unequal relationship of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like parent, child, mentor, student, whatever. And, you know, here I think what we're seeing with the reversed sun card is you don't have to try so hard, and you don't have to push yourself so much to the point of exhaustion, burnout, and breakdown.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And you know, and combined with your star card, it's kind of like saying, don't be afraid to shine and be a star. But that doesn't mean, for me, the sun tends to bring a bit more ego into it. So it says, let your true self shine as the star that you are, but don't let ego come in and then want to shine brighter than everybody else, or want more than what somebody else has, or always focus on what you don't have, thinking that somehow you deserve or entitled to more.
I love it. And there's the sun and the star working together.
That's right.
Our second position is Let the Way Be Open, which is, as you mentioned earlier, for many, the lovers is about choices and what path do I choose. And this is how to recognize and choose the right path. And I pulled from the Winged Spirit Tarot the Chariot for this position. And this is one of the few cards in the deck that's not an angel. This is actually a Valkyrie from Norse tradition, riding her chariot through the air, and she has in her with her by her reins a horse made of fire and a horse made of sort of either smoke or darkness, and it's about sort of marshaling the disparate forces. And I thought that was interesting. How do we choose a path? And the idea of the chariot. So this for me was a call to action and to not dither. The chariot kind of is sort of in this position I thought of as just pull yourself together and stop weighing out, you know, what if I do this? What if I do that? What if you mentioned earlier a need for certainty, the uncertainty that can come up in this process of looking at the year and looking at our path. So to me, the chariot is about getting past a need for certainty and directing yourself, and also getting past a need for, sometimes we tell ourselves, I will do X when I've already finished Y and Z, and we create false barriers and false delays. And to me, the chariot is kind of pushing past that. And look, you're ready. You know, as Yoda said in Return of the Jedi, already know you that which you need. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. And the card that came up for me, now see here, this is going to be one of those that challenges you.
Ooh.
So the card that came up for me was the Five of Discs or the Five of Pentacles.
Mm.
And, you know, that really, to me, one of the big themes of this card for me is codependency and misery loves company.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's harder to choose the path that is right for us that we know we need to go down, and easier for us to stay on a path that may not be best for us when mm-hmm. we surround ourselves with what we might call yes men, when we surround ourselves with people who reinforce unhealthy ways of thinking or unhealthy behaviors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if somebody said that this is the year they want to go down the path of no longer drinking,
mm-hmm.
and yet they continue to socialize and hang out with all of the same people and friends that have always been their drinking buddies,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be very hard to really stick with that and not get influenced or pressured into slipping up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and so Five of Discs sometimes is about making some hard but necessary or difficult choices, which may mean we need to allow ourselves to feel like or be the outsider,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, limiting the time we spend with those people or stepping away from people that we have socialized with for a long time, we may feel, well, I don't want to be alone, or how will I make new friends, or I don't want to feel like the outsider when I'm with them, so I'll just have a drink here and there so that I don't stand out in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about making choices that are healthy, best, and right for us so that we can start moving down that path we want to. And that chariot card speaks to this, because the chariot card is about putting our will into action and getting into the driver's seat of our own life rather than letting other people, other things influence and drive and determine the direction we go or what happens to us.
And I love that in that position of how to recognize the right path, because for me, often the Five of Pentacles is that sort of pity party,
exactly,
card. And one of my favorite quotes from he's a spiritual teacher, Ryan Foxwood, is you will heal when you no longer have any use for pain. He uses that one often. I don't think it originated from him, but I like that idea of choosing the path. Is sort of like the choice here is to remove yourself from like that which is toxic, that which doesn't serve, that which where, you know, if you're the outsider, unhitch the wagon, you know, get your horses going and take them to a place where you aren't the outsider anymore, where you can be healthy, where you can be yourself.
And it's recognizing, going back to that quote you just did, it's recognizing a lot of times for people when they're alone or just talking to one person, they'll say, yeah, I know, I need to stop doing this. Yeah, I know, I can't keep doing this anymore, whatever. But then they hang around with people who are saying, oh, but you know, it's okay. Just, you know, one drink is fine, just to stay on my example. Mm-hmm. You know, one drink is fine. So you don't get any sort of support or encouragement or reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, whereas you know what the right choice is when you're by yourself, but then you put yourself with these other people. And so you know that you have no more use for that pain. But then you put yourself around other people who are still living in or convinced that they need that pain. And they convince you and drag you into that pain as well. So then you have a much harder time moving out of it. And that's
excellent.
Where, and I think the Five of Pentacles shows us, this is not a year of easy choices. There may be some difficult choices, there may be some painful choices, but they will be the right choices and the healthiest choices if we're willing to follow through on them, which is what the Chariot card would say, the follow through.
Excellent. And then our last position is, what's love got to do with it? Thank you, Tina Turner. Everyone, Tina Turner, join us for the show, episode 2. Thank you.
Surprise guest for this episode.
Yes. Oh, never, she has
know.
To go now.
That's right. You have to listen every month. You never know who might be popping in the studio just to say hello.
Yes. What's love got to do with it in this position is sort of like, what is the work of love in this? How can love help? How does love help us have this fantastic year of choices? And I pulled the King of Swords, and this is an interesting card for this position. It's a very stern-looking King of Swords in this deck, and this is, love is the teacher, and love can be a very harsh teacher sometimes, as anyone who's watched a Tina Turner movie knows, that love is, it calls upon us to examine ourselves and not to let ourselves off easy. I know in the companion book to this deck, he talks about sort of the qualities of the King of Swords as a diplomat and someone who takes themselves to task. So love this year for you out there, might, once you get yourself going and, you know, prepare yourself and choose the path, it's not over. Love is still going to have lessons for you. And it is our task to sort of rise to those and to be the impressive person who can lead others that we know ourselves to be. It's sort of to be our highest self and not slack off. You're right. That's my interpretation, but what'd you get, Heisey?
Well, and to that I would say, because it's swords, especially King of Swords, it's being completely honest and realistic with ourselves. It's not putting on blinders, it's not trying to make excuses, but it's just getting right to the point and cutting right through to what that truth is, that sometimes it's the harsh truth of reality, but it's the necessary reality and truth that we need to face. And what came up for me is the Seven of Discs or the Seven of Pentacles. And, you know, one thing that card is often about for me is patience, because it represents this idea of taking the time to cultivate something for the long term so that it has viability and sustainability, knowing that A, it's not something that can happen overnight, and B, it's something that takes work ongoing rather than just a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. So especially with love, especially if we start to talk about relationships and things, you know, it's really, it's, while love is like the driving force of a relationship, of any relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship or a relationship with our work or whatever, love is that driving force, but we have to work to maintain and sustain mm-hmm. that love and what that love has to offer us and how it can be expressed in the world, how it can mm-hmm. manifest. You know, and I think Seven of Discs reminds us as well to not neglect what we have already accomplished or experienced, especially when it comes to love. Mm-hmm. People that aren't in a relationship, oftentimes it's all you hear from them. Oh, I want a relationship. Oh, I don't have a relationship. Oh, no, you know. And then if they talk about previous relationships, all you hear about is how bad the breakup was or how horrible the person was. Or whatever. And it's like, well, why don't you stop and actually look at what value and worth was there in that experience for you? Because mm-hmm. that's what will then infuse your experience of love and what you have to offer to make it a more rich and fulfilling experience for mm-hmm. yourself and for others as you move forward.
Yeah, and to me, having that in there is also suggesting maybe like love the journey and love the work, love this part, love the transition, you know, love, like it's not just something we're putting up with or that we have to endure, you know, this is what, you know, there's no end point, there's no point at which, you know, we've arrived and we've fully realized ourselves as mystical beings, you know, we're always growing toward that. And so I love that card mixed with the King of Swords.
Right, because King of Swords can be very focused on, you know, what's the plan, what's the next
what's
thing
the strategy.
To do. Yeah, what's the strategy. Mm-hmm. And Seven of Discs really reminds us to just be in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean be in love with someone or something, but I mean to just be.
Mm-hmm.
So if I think of a garden, Seven of Discs to me is not only getting out there and cultivating the garden, the work that has to go into it daily in order for it to come to fruition and to bloom, but mm-hmm. it's also, you don't have to go out and do that every day. It's okay to go out and sit on a Saturday afternoon for lunch, just sit and be in the garden and appreciate the beauty of it. See what it is that's starting to come into fruition or come into being there, that you've had a hand in helping to do that. And with love, it's kind of the same thing, the garden of love. It's like, just go be in the garden of love on a regular basis rather than always looking for something more mm-hmm. or bemoaning what you no longer have
mm-hmm.
versus just be in love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, so we would love to hear, love, there it is. We would love to hear how this spread works for anyone who wants to give it a try. So test it out.
And we will post it on our Facebook page so that you can have that to refer to. Mm-hmm. Or you can go back and listen to the show over and over again.
Over and over again.
Hear what that spread is all about.
Yeah. And so let us know what you think or if you have any ideas.
That's right.
What I would encourage people, if you want to come to our Facebook, I'm curious, what if you sat and thought about it, what would it mean to you to just be in love? So, having said that, I take a quick little break, and as soon as we do that, we will be back with our special guest, David Sexton. And I just want to remind people that if you would like a reading a little later in the show on the air, you can Skype in from the show page for that, or you can call in, and the phone number is 646-716-5510. So feel free to do that if you'd like a reading. And here's a little musical break that I think you'll see fits the theme perfectly. And we will be right back with our special guest, David Sexton. Thank you.
so won't you dance? I'm standing here with you, why won't you move? I'll get inside your groove, cause I'm a fire, 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 fire. It hurts when you get too close, but baby it hurts. If love is really good, you just want more. Even if it throws you to the fire, 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 fire.
Are you creating your own non-optimal reality? Might your hidden beliefs be hijacking your manifestation machinery? Join shamanist, radio host, and compassionate adventure guide, John Carosella, on a journey to the places where beliefs hide at East West Bookstore in Mountain View on Thursday, February 21st. Identify the great fear we all share. Discover how beliefs can blind us to soul loss. Freeing ourselves from hidden beliefs allows us to heal ourselves and in turn, the world around us. What beliefs are you willing to release in order to be healed? Mark your calendar. Thursday, February 21st at East West Bookstore in Mountain View. It's free. Register at www.eastwest.com/events.
Even if it throws you to the fire, fire, fire.
Charlie and I are very excited to have us joining on the show today, David Sexton. David Sexton is an illustrator, writer, producer, and lyricist. And as the quote-unquote magic go-to guy for Marvel Comics, David recently finished the Mystic Arcana miniseries and the acclaimed guide to Marvel magic called The Marvel Tarot. In between his comics jobs, David has published two tarot card decks, one called the Winged Spirit Tarot and another called the Tarot of Oz, and he has also written several plays. It's a Fabulous Life is a gay musical take on the holiday classic It's a Wonderful Life and has been produced all across the country, and The Nature of the Beach has been optioned for a film. David Sexton currently resides in Miami, Florida, where he continues to create concepts for Marvel while working on new television and film projects. So please help Charlie and I welcome to the show today illustrator, writer, producer, lyricist, tarot card deck creator, and sometime superhero, David Sexton.
And the crowd. They really love you.
Wow.
Welcome, David.
Intro.
Quite the intro.
We're live from the football stadium.
That's right. For those who are watching live, the reason they're cheering.
Didn't even get that big of an intro. That's really impressive.
Well, they're cheering, David, because you have the greatest abs in tarot. It's a well-known fact. If we just want to, we should get that out. Your mystical vision and your artistic contributions are important, but you do have the best abs in the tarot.
Well, you know, I do my best. I think it's all part of the same thing, you know, mind, body, spirit, and so
that's right.
I'm going to,
there we go.
You know, be portraying ideals. They need to have nice washboard abs.
Wonderful. Well, I'm really, really excited that you're joining us and staying up really, really, really late to join us because I've been a huge fan of your creations, both decks and comics, for a long time, and I'm very excited that you would appear on the show.
Well, I'm glad that you asked me, Charlie. I think it's cool. I think it's a really interesting, neat perspective, and it's certainly in tune with a lot of the stuff that I've been doing over the years. So,
excellent. So speaking of over the years, could you tell us a little bit about how you kind of came to the world of tarot? Like, how'd that happen?
Sure. I was a freshman in college, and I was taking a comparative religion class, actually, with Betty Sue Flowers, who, at University of Texas, she edited The Power of Myth for Joseph Campbell, and she's an amazing teacher. And she actually used tarot cards in her classes as part of a Jungian exercise. And I didn't know anything about them, but I was really fascinated by that. So I asked for a set for Christmas. And I ended up getting the Mythic Tarot, which was since The Power of Myth. And I'd always been interested in mythology. I got the Mythic Tarot deck. And that year, we had big family gatherings, you know, like 20, 30 people. And I did readings for everybody in the family. I went around, you know, I had the book. And I would do the fold. And then I would look at the book, and I would do the reading for them. And
we all
videotaped
the
whole thing. Yeah, and we videotaped the whole thing, and at the time, it was a great party favor. You know, at the moment, it was like, you know, we laughed, and it was hysterical, but then, actually watching the video back over, like, 4 months later or so, it was really sort of fascinating, a little unnerving, I must admit, like, some of the things that I said that had ended up actually happening, and beside that, you know, I immediately was drawn to the idea of it as a tool for self-examination. You know, I always say, I'm going to tell you a story about yourself, and you have to think about whether the story is true or not. And I've always kind of, that's my favorite thing in the whole world, is to hear or tell a really good story. So I feel like that's what tarot is to some degree, you know.
Oh, I love the storyteller approach. And I like the way you phrase that. I'm going to tell you a story about yourself.
Yeah.
So. And you get to decide.
You know, the significature is you, and every good story has conflict, which is the crossing card. I mean, all of the, you know, the components of a really good story are there in a tarot fold. So it's an interesting analogy there.
Well, I love it. And it wasn't long after that that you had a run-in with an important tarot personage.
George
without realizing
Pollock was actually the first tarot. I'd been studying it, and I had learned how to use an art program on a computer. And what I ended up doing with that art program was to create like tarot kind of images.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a convention, a comic book convention, because I was also interested in comic books at the time, and I brought them with me and went up to the U.S. Games, had like their own desk there or booth or whatever, and I said, hi, I'd like to show someone some illustrations. I'd be interested in doing a tarot deck. And I had kind of gotten into my head that I wanted to do this idea of angels or winged spirits, you know, that would include Valkyries, that would include some of the Greek ideas, the Nike, you know, this idea of the winged messenger as a way that the higher powers communicated with mortals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had done several draw several paintings, and I showed them to him, and I introduced myself, and he introduced himself, and I was like, oh my God, like a rock star kind of thing. I was like, oh my God, oh wow. And I think he was kind of got tickled by that, that I knew he was, and I was so impressed.
You probably didn't get it a lot at a comic book convention, you know.
Like, well, for me, it was like meeting, you know, one of the Beatles or something, you know, as far as Taro was concerned. He's like, really, an amazing presence, and, you know, U.S. Games is huge, and his volumes on the Taro decks and everything. They actually, the next step in the process was they wanted me to do an ace for each of the two. So I've done a lot of the major arcana, which I think for those of you who are out there who are considering making your own tarot deck, I think that we're drawn instinctively to those big, to the big, you know, the lovers and the magician, and those are the ones I wanted to do first. And I think wisely, the people at U.S. Games understood that if you're going to do the whole thing, you have to be able to deal with the minor arcana as well. So they asked me to do the four aces, and I did the four aces, and they said, okay, that's great. Now you can do all 78 paintings. And I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're like, I'd rather do...
Let's make it a 10-card deck, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. You really don't... And it's a lot. I mean, to do 78 paintings is a lot. And for me... it is my nature that I love beginnings, it was a real lesson in fortitude and sticking through it and making sure that I got everything done. They all looked good, and then I was pleased with all of them. And then writing the book was great, and I got to work with a friend of mine who had studied religious studies at University of Chicago, and she got her degree in angelology, and she brought some really great insights into what I was writing about. You know, that was the beginning of the Winged Spirit tarot deck.
You know, and what I love about the Winged Spirit is that there's so many oracle decks out there that are angel-related, and they tend to sort of focus on sort of this sort of very soft, sort of new age, kind of just guardian angel, generic idea,
yeah,
where it's more like qualities like love and protection. But you in the Winged Spirit go deep into angel like mythology and Gnostic,
yeah,
Christianity. Can
Christian
you tell us
mythology
a little bit about that?
Christian mythology, which is it's huge. I mean, there's a lot of apocryphal works out there. You know, one of the first things that I discovered was the Catholic Book of Tobit. You know, if you're Christian and you believe in the Bible and you're Catholic, you have an extra book in your Bible. And that's the Book of Tobit, and it has a lot to do with the angel Raphael and Tobit, and actually the fool in my Winged Spirit deck is Tobit. But it's like a crazy book, you know. I guess how the Protestants might be like, that one not so much. Because so there's devils, there's angels, there's healings. It's way more sci-fi fantasy than a lot of the Bible.
It works definitely because there's not everyone's perfect in deck, but I keep cutting off poor Hi-C, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just curious if you've gotten any resistance or criticism because you really go into a lot of the more that deeper aspect of angelology rather than what a lot of people associate with angels these days. In that more kind of Doreen Virtue way.
I approach angelology as Joseph Campbell kind of did. He believes in everything. And I believe the validity of the Greek myth and the Christian myth. And that was kind of my approach to it. I don't think of myself at all as a purist or as a, you know, fundamentalist in any way. So what fascinated me was the way that it's not so simple. You think, oh, well, you know, Christianity, it's a monotheistic, but then even within the monotheism, we know we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then there's the cult of Mary, and then you get a little bit deeper in there, and it's you might as well be dealing with a, you know, Hindu mythos because it's so rich and diverse, and there's guardian angels for, you know, there's a guardian angel for unrequited love, there's a guardian angel for domesticated animals, you know, like there's lots and lots of angels. And that belief system existed, you know, was very prevalent, that there were guardian spirits, which is a very common thing in most religions, that there's a big God above us that's kind of unknowable, and then there are spirits that embrace us and live amongst us that are more, you know, immediate. And I think that's what, you know, these angels were for many people, and still are.
Yes, and it makes them very human to depict them the way you did, because they aren't flawless as some angel depictions are. So you have the demiurge as the emperor, or Sophia as the empress, and they have, you know, characteristics and qualities that, you know, aren't perfect, but are, you know, we're able to connect with about in the growth process in life and telling our own story.
I mean, you know, it's complicated as far as the Christian mythology goes, because I think we can all agree that the world is not perfect. You know, there's pain, there's suffering. So for early religious scholars, how do you make that leap from divine perfection? Like, how could God create anything that's less than perfect? Well, you have to have several steps away from God. And so the closer you get to earth, or the closer you get to man, the more human they become, the more flaws they exhibit, the more, you know, idiosyncrasies, and the farther they go from God, the less they are godlike. So it's an interesting thing, and it kind of comes into the Kabbalah, where they use the tarot to actually show the pathway, the stairway up to God, which is interesting.
Absolutely. And one thing I love about your decks, it started in the Winged Spirit, then you also continued it in the Tarot of Oz, is that for the minor arcana, you tell four distinct stories with in each of the decks with that. And I love that approach, especially since you mentioned earlier that your main interest coming into tarot was about the ability to tell stories and to, like, understand the story. So how did you come about that approach of the minors?
You know, it was not something that I, like, when I did the Tarot of Oz, I specifically found works. There's the Scarecrow of Oz, the Tin Man of Oz, and I read those books, and I found parallels, and I mapped them out. When I was doing the Winged Spirit Minor Arcana, it just was the way that the story told itself to me. You know, I saw a progression, I saw a process that happened. You guys were just talking about it, this idea of that it's a string of related events, the 8 through the 10. They're connected to each other in some way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the imbalance of the 5 that leads to the rest of the 6, or the release of the 6, you know. Why wouldn't those events be connected in some way? And that's kind of how I ended up pulling them together. And I'm sure it was my storyteller instinct that was like, well, then this happened, and then this happened. So
speaking of mythologies, and probably very vociferous fans of certain mythologies, there's a rumor going around that there was, under your tutelage, an Anne Rice tarot being developed. Can you speak about that?
Sure, of course. It's not a top secret. It kind of happened in between the Winged Spirit and the Tarot of Oz. I was reading Anne Rice. I loved Anne Rice from college, and I started to see parallels between her stories and tarot card figures, and I started to do some portraits. I did Lestat as the Magician, which I think I sent to you guys. I did Claudia as the Star. I did character portraits, essentially. And I thought they were cool. So I, having all kinds of hubris, sent them to, or I called. Actually, I found Anne Rice's editor at Knopf. I just made a cold call, which I don't, you know, I don't recommend that to anybody to make a cold call to Knopf, but I did, and I said, hey, I've got this great idea, a tarot deck featuring Anne Rice's characters, that way she could cross-promote her novels, we could have characters from The Mummy and, you know, and from the, you know, variety of her books. And the woman that I spoke to was like, oh, that's a good idea. Send me whatever you have. Send me your artwork. And so I sent it to her, and I called back, you know, a week later to see if she'd received the package. And she said, oh, yeah, it's crazy you're calling me. They were just in the office. Anne Rice and Ross Safaro, and I guess she had the images open and on her desk when they came in, not expecting to have a conversation with Anne Rice, but Anne saw them, and she goes, oh, my God, what are those? And Ross Safaro is her business manager, who I dealt with. And she was like, oh, this is great. And they called me. And she said, you know, you'd be expecting a call from them. And they did call me. And they asked if they could license the images that I created and sell them as T-shirts and posters on her website. And I said, oh, of course, you know, that sounds fantastic. My ultimate goal is to do a whole deck. And they said, that's very interesting. Let's have an ongoing conversation. And at the time, I was now working with Llewellyn and U.S. Games, and I brought the idea to both of them, and they were both eager to do it, but they were very kind of constrained in their business model. You know, here is how much we pay the artist as an advance. Here is how, you know, what we sell the deck for. Here is the royalty they get. And I was
the
like,
antithesis
yes,
of art, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the way it goes. So I was like, okay, but you're not talking to me. You're talking to Anne Rice. We need to come up with a new business model here. Like, this is big. This is bigger than, you know. And they both kind of, both companies kind of tried, and we weren't able to work out a deal. And then I struggled to make it happen over the years. And then she kind of stopped writing the horror supernatural novels because she, you know, felt like she was called to the Catholic Church, which she's since changed her mind. You know, that was her journey. But at the time, she shut down her website. She sold her homes in New Orleans. She closed her shops. And, you know, that was kind of the end of that aspect of it. But I did a lot of images that she really loved and that we sold them things. So maybe someday, maybe the viewers will, you know, up in arms, somehow contact her and say, give
well,
up
and,
the tarot.
And what's interesting is that's been, what, like almost 10 years now, and yet you still get regular questions about
true.
That deck. You
very
know, people
true.
People somehow know that it was something considered. It, I mean, it was not something that existed and went out of print. It's like it was just an idea.
No. So tantalizing.
Well, it wasn't just an idea. It was a good idea, but also it was T-shirts. So people still see the artifacts of that almost deck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You never see a single card released from a deck until it's, you know, out. And in this case, the cards kind of are public, some of them. I think she did about a dozen of the cards. Akasha and the Elder and Marius. But she did several of them, and they were great T-shirts. She just did a nice job on them.
Yeah.
And but so I'm sure they exist somewhere in the public consciousness. But I do still get emails, questions like, where can I get it? Actually, is a lot of times people ask me, where can I get it? And I have to sadly say, you can get it nowhere. There is no.
Well, she's back now. She's back from the light.
She is.
I mean, Jesus did talk block you on this deck, but I just said that. But Anne Rice has sort of returned to the darkness, and
yeah.
I feel like we need to start a letter writing campaign because it's.
We do.
Beautiful.
Charlie, how old are you? Who writes letters? What do you mean a letter writing?
A letter. It's a steel pen made from angel wings. And I will write.
I think Anne might respond to a letter writing campaign, actually. She's very old school.
Yes.
You know?
So, and David, so are there any other movies, books, plays, et cetera, that you feel inspired by that you think, oh, that would make such an amazing tarot deck concept?
Well, funny you should ask. I actually, a good friend of mine, her name is Carrie Preston. She's on the show True Blood, which is the vampire show by Alan Ball, which I love. She plays Arlene, and I at one point said to her, oh, you know, it'd be really cool if we did a tarot deck based on the characters from the True Blood stories. And she was like, oh, my God, that's a great idea. And so we kind of worked it up a little bit. I did just two demo cards. I did Sookie as a Fool with the dog behind her, Sam, in his transformed state as a dog. Then I did Bill Compton as the magician, because I felt like he was the catalyst and the transformer and the crossroads that kind of brought Sookie into this world. And we spoke to Gianna Sobel, who's actually one of the lead producers of True Blood, and she loved the idea. She put me in touch with the company who does their marketing stuff. And that's where the trail went cold, because they said, oh, I think we've already got something like that planned.
What?
This was like 3 years. This was right before The Witch. They were in the middle of The Witch season, which was, what, two, three seasons ago? Jeez. Anyway, and nothing's ever come of it. But I think they recognized a good idea when they heard it. They were like, yeah, we're doing that already. But then they didn't do it. But that was another one of these things. And then one other that came out of, actually, the Tarot of Oz, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, his name's Robert Johansson, he directed The Wizard of Oz at Madison Square Garden, which starred Roseanne and Eartha Kitt as the witch, and he's actually worked a lot with Stephen Schwartz in the past. So I was talking with him at one point, and I said, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have a tarot deck with the Wicked character? And this was actually before the Lion, A Lion Among Men was out, which I'm just going to say for all to hear, I didn't love. I loved the last book in the series. I thought it was great. It redeemed any qualms I'd had with the earlier books. But he was like, oh, that's a really good idea. So we spoke to Stephen Schwartz, and Stephen Schwartz gave us the email address of the author, and we contacted him. And he kind of, he was like, oh, I don't know that the publisher would want to license the characters away. My friend was actually speaking for me at this point. I was like, oh, really? I was thinking that the publisher would publish the deck. But, again, like the business side of it sometimes interferes with, it's so weird how everybody in the room can agree it's a great idea, and then it doesn't happen. So that's the fool's journey.
But that is the trial, and they haven't had the benefit of Pisces in my reading about how to pull themselves together to do that. And you haven't just created decks. You've also, because tarot is propping up everywhere, and I've seen a lot of marketing campaigns for different things that use tarot, or especially like movie releases that have tarot. But you work in a very favorite area of mine, which is the world of comics. You did something pretty impressive for Marvel. And I remember one day I'm sitting down and I was on a comic book site and it said like Marvel Tarot. And I thought, well, that's weird. That's a random Italian deck that was created. No, this is something.
No, it's not that one. Yeah.
And it's not just, I'm like, well, what schlub did they get to? David Sexton. That's an actual tarot person. That's not just some.
It's a schlub with abs. A schlub.
There we go.
So,
in a nutshell,
how did that happen?
What would you like to say about what you created for Marvel? Like, what the.
So that is. The Marvel Tarot is actually part of a mini series called Mystic Arcana. And that came out of a pitch that I made to one of the. David Gabriel, who was the VP of marketing and merchandising, great guy at Marvel. And I said to him, I met him, and I said, listen, you know, Marvel does an excellent job with its science-based properties, you know, X-Men and Avengers, and you practically have to have, like, a degree in technology to write Iron Man. They're like so grounded in reality and they're so successful. You're not doing so well with it, with the supernatural side of Marvel. And Doctor Strange, great character, trying to make a movie out of it. He has never been able to sustain a successful series, and it's not his fault. It's the problem is that Marvel, in my opinion, has had a very lax set of rules that govern magic. And there's nothing worse than bad magic rules. You know, if it's Deus Ex Machina, where the magic just comes in and saves everything, or it's, you know, ineffectual in some way, it's just boring. And the worst case of Marvel magic gone awry was a miniseries for a series called Witches, I think it was, which was had a cute premise, but the end of the series, Doctor Strange is fighting with some sorcerer, and the sorcerer casts a spell at Doctor Strange by making his fingers look like a gun and saying, bang. And the, like, writer in me thought, how lazy is that? Like, that's not magic at all, you know? And so that was one of the premises I had, was like, magic is not a gun. Magic should not look like a gun or be like a gun. It's more elegant. It's more complicated. It's more interesting than a gun.
So that was your call to action.
Yeah, that was it was the starter gun for me. And I said, let me, you know, draw on some rules, quote-unquote rules that govern magic, you know, that or deemed to have governed magic. And what was interesting to me as I got into the Marvel magic history, which I knew some of, I mean, the early Stan Lee stuff was so much better because it was incantational magic. They were summoning powers, you know, mm-hmm. Ushtar and Hoggoth and these, you know, the rings of Radagor, and it was incantations that were summoning forces, and it was a much more beautiful, poetic world. Stan Lee would have never had Doctor Strange go bang, again. You know?
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Absolutely.
I was going to say, like, so I was that the, since tarot, like, the structure of tarot is very organized, and it has this sort of overlaying structure, did that lend itself to kind of giving structure to that world?
Yeah, I mean, part of my premise with the mini-series was that magic is broken. And that is a meta comment on magic in the Marvel Universe, in my mind, was broken. Mm-hmm. So the quest kind of the protagonist in the Mystic Arcana series is to find the four cornerstones of reality and shore up magic, stabilize magic in the Marvel Universe. And I use the four minor arcana suits as symbols for the four cornerstones of creation, which was actually a really ancient thing that I drug up from comic book lore. And then a long time ago in a series called Secret Defenders, there was a tarot deck that Doctor Strange used that would actually help him pick his members of the Secret Defenders. And it was used early on in the series and then kind of abandoned later on. But I thought, okay, this is somehow Ian McKnee, who was the protagonist in the series, has gotten a hold of this Marvel tarot, or the tarot of Marvels, as I called it in the book. And it's going to help guide him through this process of, you know, like just the tarot guides all of us through our journey, especially on the hero's quest. And it's going to help guide him through there. So I used various characters from the Marvel Universe and represented them as tarot cards. Also, I was trying to create a sort of a unifying mythology around, you know, I ended up using, this is going to get really arcane and comic booky for some people, but there's elders of the universe, the people who are, you know, the longest living entities on Earth. I brought them in. There are four of them, and I used correspondences. You know, if you look at Marvel, it's based mm-hmm. on four, the Fantastic Four. There's fours that go throughout the Marvel Universe. And the DC Universe is really based on threes. You know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, there are three characters that start mm-hmm. with superheroes.
Trinities.
And different religious systems, most of the time they're based on threes or fours. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to look and explore and see what I can find in the Mormon universe that corresponds to fours, and there were lots of correspondences. So I just tried to write a book that kind of created, that showed connections between various things in the Mormon universe that, you know, hadn't really been discussed before.
Well, I love that, and I love that you explored that for the comic book world through the medium of tarot.
Yeah.
So, and then a question I wanted to sort of, as we wrap this up, David, since this is Divination with a Queer Twist,
yeah.
The first time I was in Barnes & Noble, and I saw the Winged Spirit Tarot, and I saw the cover of the Winged Spirit Tarot, and specifically I saw the Metatron, and I saw this fantastic-looking, sculpted, angelic being, and I thought, yes, I'm purchasing this, and so I looked through it, and because, you know, that's who I am. And it, well, perfection. So I was going through it, and at the time, there were no quote-unquote, like, gay tarot decks or queer or LGBT tarot decks, but there were sort of these sort of codified, sort of secret kind of read-between-the-lines decks that had, well, like, a queer sensibility. And I was going through yours, and I kind of resonated with that, especially when I got to Strength, where you show Jacob wrestling with the angel, which is sort of the ultimate sort of Christian metaphor of dealing with the struggle of homosexuality. It was referenced in Angels in America as the sort of metaphor. So what does it? You don't have the Winged Spirit is not a gay tarot deck. None of your work is gay, but is there a queer sensibility, or am I just crazy?
Sure, no, I think absolutely. You are. I mean, as an artist, I think that gay men are more sensitive to aesthetics, you know, and I kind of have a belief that, you know, when a population reaches a certain density, we are the finishers of a society. We come in and we add a certain level of refinement, and that may be a huge, you know, bizarre stereotype, but that's kind of the way I think of us. And
wow.
I think that we're sensitive to beauty more so than our heterosexual male counterparts. So the thing that definitely, I think, informs a lot of times when you see gay sensibility, it's a form of beauty that doesn't sexualize the female form. You know, a lot of beauty, depictions of beauty that are done are going to overtly sexualize the female form. And I definitely have lots of shirtless, half-naked guys in it. I think that other than Strength, which is to me one of my best parts, sometimes I look at the artwork, which is done like 15 years ago, and I cringe a little bit at it because, you know, that's what I do when they look at their old stuff. But the Strength card I think is beautiful and definitely homoerotic, but also you have to look at the Devil card where he, you know, his two servants are held by chains that are attached to nipple rings to the devil, so... I
a little
mean,
full speed fair.
That's pretty
well,
out there homoerotic stuff.
you had to throw in a little bit for the heteronormative crowd. Isn't that very hetero?
Well, it's kind of like, I think all of women, increasingly women in the tarot world are speaking out about depictions of women in tarot, but I think they would love yours because everyone's lovely, very well coiffed, everyone's nicely dressed, no one's busting out of their top. So it's like the two main tarot reading categories, women and gay men, straight women and gay men, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, can really appreciate your work. So, okay, I was just wondering about, like, there's some there. There's sort of
there's
a sensitivity
there,
to your work.
Well,
I really appreciate that you coming on, and I'm looking forward to the various vampire decks you're going to create, either the HBO True Blood vampires, the Anne Rice vampires, maybe even just if you have to do the Twilight vampires, go ahead. Just to
get that
vampire.
No. Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries.
Oh,
there you go.
We're perfectly fine seeing Ian Somerhalder naked on every card.
Every card, absolutely. And I really want to see, if not the Wicked deck, I'd love to see an alternate Moon card for your Tarot of Oz with Elphaba.
We didn't really talk about the Tarot of Oz, but just to say quickly that when I did the Tarot of Oz. Wicked had just come out, and I sent it in to Llewellyn. They asked for some sample cards, and I sent it in to Llewellyn, and they kind of pushed back a little bit on the witch as the moon, and they were like, you know, the moon is our symbol. It's very important for Llewellyn, and we weren't really that comfortable with the witch being the symbol for the moon. So I was like, oh my God, you know, this is, the witch isn't bad. She's misunderstood. You know, I was definitely part of that Wicked bandwagon. But plus the idea that wicked and witch are both derived from the root word, which means wisdom or wise. So the wicked witch would be a doubly wise woman, which is why she's feared by the others, the menfolk. So for me, you know, the wicked witch is fantastic. And now, you know, that Wicked has become such a huge sensation, I think the wicked witch is now considered to be a role model.
and maybe it's an idea to put back out there because there's a new, I don't know if it's just a movie or a mini series on Sci-Fi that's getting ready to air. About the whole Oz world, but it's about the witches.
Well, there's a movie, The Oz, the Great and Terrible, which has the three witches with Rachel Weisz, which I love.
That's
And there's an animated film coming out, which tells one of the stories of Oz that Bernadette Peters is going to be in, who I'm friendly with. So this, you know, Oz, the Oz mythology and the idea of magic and witches has stayed with us all through the years. So.
Well, and that definition of that word, or the root of that word of wisdom, is perfect for us to end on, because as we move into the next segment, we're going to do our regular segment of Living the Queer Life, and that helps us to find that wisdom. Charlie and I will do a little bit of Tarot magic to find that wisdom to pass on to people.
What a great segue, I see. Sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me on the show. And, you know, if you want to have me back on again sometime, I'd love to, especially if we're able to get Anne Rice on as well and we can have her.
Oh, well, there you go. Get her on, and yes. And then where can people find out more about your work and what you're up to?
Well, you know, you can go to Amazon.com. The Tarot of Oz is there. The Winged Spirit is there. The Marvel Tarot Mystic Arcana is available in hardcover, the whole series. You know, you can find me on Facebook if you want to ask me any questions about my work or what I'm doing or any of that. I'm happy to answer.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for having been here.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm
a fan of the show. You guys are doing great things.
Thank you.
Will we be able to see It's a Fabulous Life out here in California anytime soon?
Well, it was out there in San Diego at one point.
Southern California doesn't count. We're in Northern California. So is it coming to the...
I'm doing a mailing now. I've had a bunch of inquiries again about the show, and I'm getting ready to do a mailing of the script and some stuff. And so give me the right theater in San Francisco, and I'll send them the information. It's a great show. I'm really proud of it, and I think it should be done in San Francisco, for gosh sake.
I'll say. Well, on that note, we will look forward to interviewing you again when you are coming out here to the San Francisco Bay Area, so that we can interview you live when your show will be.
Fantastic. Okay, great, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, Charlie.
Yes, I see.
I believe we will take a quick break with a special dedication to David, a little song about him and his comics world.
Composed about David Sexton.
That's right. And when we come back from that, we will be doing our Living the Queer Life segment, and that will lead into our live readings. And we do have three people at least waiting on the line for some readings. So, all of those listening, enjoy this little musical break, our little dedication to David Sexton, and we will be right back.
Historical Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring Firefly Willow's LIVE favorite, Heisey Ludmers, and his co-host, Charlie Harrington, on the second Tuesday evening each month. And get ready for two more shows. Starting in February, join us for A Shamanic Life, hosted by John Carosella. On the first and third Tuesdays each month at 8 p.m., John will bring together leaders and explorers in neo-shamanism. Practical and practiced, his guests are not just doing shamanism, they're living it. And don't miss What's Your Prescription for Balance with Mildred Lynn McDonald and Dr. Glenna Calder, the first Thursday evening of each month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we provide new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light.
And we are back, and that was our little dedication to our superhero tonight, David Sexton. And we are now going to take a quick look for our regular segment, Living the Queer Life, at what it is that the cards have to offer all of us listening to live a more spiritually fulfilling life, but also to embrace our queerness and not demonize it or feel bad about it.
Live it, love it.
That's right. And, you know, I would always encourage you to let your queer side show through. Throw some glitter on it. Be a glamorous queer.
Exactly.
No matter what it is. So, shall we choose our cards?
Yes, I just pulled a card. I'm pulling from David Sexton's amazing Winged Spirit Tarot, and I got Judgment.
Dun, dun, dun. Wow.
And he has illustrated Judgment with Archangel Michael, who's, you know, real popular among the angel aficionados. But in this incarnation, it's Archangel Michael from the book of, what's that last one? The book of the final one, the apocalypse, the scary.
Oh, the revelation.
Revelation, yes. Revelation, and it's Michael chaining the dragon, sort of Satan as the red dragon, and he's chaining him and he's putting him down, basically. And two very sensitive angel types. Some people don't like this image of Michael because it seems harsh, but this is Michael, sort of that last step, that last breath before perfection, before the sort of wonder that can occur in the world card. This is the final putting aside and putting away the toxic things that no longer serve us. So to me, the message of that card is to, at some point, we, you know, in our queer life, you have to stop giving time and attention and energy to people who don't appreciate and don't love your journey and are, you know, if they're trying to pray away the gay, if they're trying to sort of tell you to keep you in bondage to their ideals,
at sometimes they have to be put out of your experience so that you can be free from that, to not hear that anymore. There's a lot of people that grin and bear it and abide in toxic situations. And you mentioned earlier demons, you know, the inner demon kind of freeing ourselves from that. And it could also be an inner experience. It doesn't have to just be outer things. It could be the inner voices that tell you, like, this isn't right. This is harmful. This isn't what you're supposed to be doing. And those things can't live in paradise. Does that make sense? Am I talking crazy here?
No. That makes sense. And that card for me, on the one hand, it often says to rise above.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I just want to clarify for people that when we do this segment, this is for the next month. This is from now through our next show. So, but basically it's for the month of January with a little bit of February thrown in. And, you know, so this isn't like some long reaching concept or thing to keep in mind. This is something that's very immediate in terms of what to be thinking about, what to be doing, et cetera. And, you know, this is a card about using good judgment and good discernment. And rising above, I think, is don't get caught up in other people's attempts to drag you down or to judge you, but instead rise above that. And, you know, and I pulled a card as well, which was the Prince of Wands, or which would be the same as the Knight of Wands in other decks. And that's a very swift moving card. And it says, just move on. You know, nothing to see here, no drama to get involved with here. So don't linger in things that are not healthy or good or right. And just keep moving forward. And astrologically, right now, Jupiter is nicely aspected. So this is a really good time for putting actions, putting plans into action, for getting moving on things, for really starting to push towards expanding or moving towards things that you've been wanting to do and that kind of thing. And the Prince of Wands really supports that. But Prince of Wands, Wands is fire. And so it also is a time, you know, think of if you throw something in the fire, it burns up very quickly. And that's how you want to approach things at this point, going back to some of the other things we were talking about earlier in the show, is things that are not healthy, things that are not good, things that are not right, whether they're relationships or habits or whatever it is, it's time to throw them in the fire and purge by fire. That this is not a take your time, ease into it, try to keep everybody happy approach. This mm-hmm. is a just get moving. You know, the Knight of Wands is similar to that Chariot card we had earlier, which is like just jump on the horse and start mm-hmm. riding forward down the path or the direction you need to be going.
Yes.
Rather than waiting for people to get on board with you to validate, support, and tell you, oh, yes, that's the right thing to do, for them to be in agreement with you. They don't need to be in agreement with you if you know in your gut mm-hmm. that it's right.
Yeah, and he's got that very Archangel Michael quality about the Prince of Wands.
And I had thought about that with Michael, too, because Michael is not the gentlest of archangels.
No.
So this is not time to be gentle versus to go kind of full blazing forward. And sometimes that means just zooming by people. Sometimes mm-hmm. that means just tossing things off and being done with them and moving on quickly rather than lingering around in them.
So yeah, be flaming, and those who do not deserve you will be turned to ash.
And fire rituals would be really good this month.
Yes.
Friday is a really good time to do this because Friday is a new moon. And mm-hmm. new moons are a really good time for doing any sort of ritual around initiating new things, setting new goals, etc. But you could also toss into a fire on a new moon ritual something that represents the old in order to create the space and create new energy for the new to come in. Mm-hmm. Rather than the old to continue being there, taking up space and energy that is needed to move forward. So that would be my little suggestion for what people could do, especially Friday under the new moon.
Excellent.
So I think that we should get to some of these people that have been ever so patiently waiting on
their
heart. Line. I know. Bless them. And we will go to our first caller. And hello, caller from area code 505. You're on the air.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. And I really enjoyed listening to your education. That was really nice about the new moon and everything about blazing forward, because that's something that I'm about to be doing now.
So do you want to tell us what it is that you'd like us to look at for you with a reading?
Yes, I am, excuse me, I'm really looking to connect with somebody who, you know, connects with my soul, somebody who's made for me, and because I'm really looking for a really good relationship. I've been through a whirlwind of a life for quite a while, or if there's people of like mind, you know, like me, according to my soul's purpose. I'm a very spiritual person. And I want to move forward with that. I feel that I've been put behind and shackled.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I'll say before I draw a card here is, when we talked earlier in the show about the card for the year, that number six card, the Lover's card, I think that that speaks to you, especially in terms of the energies that are going on just this year. Because one, with the number six, it's about being able to catch our breath after having come through some very challenging periods of change. So you may find that it's a little easier to breathe this year. And the Lover's card is often a card that's associated with soulmates. Now, for me, soulmates aren't necessarily romantic relationships, although they can be. And we can have more than one soulmate at a time and more than one soulmate in a lifetime. But this would show that this is a particularly strong, energetic year for connecting with soulmates. And soulmates are exactly the kind of thing you were just describing that you're looking for. So really pay attention to who crosses your path, because the Lover's card is also a card of synchronicity. So you can think right timing, right direction. And so there, especially during a lover's year, I mean, I don't think there are ever, but especially during a lover's year, there are no coincidences. And you, if something seems like a coincidence, pay extra special attention to it and be willing to take action on it. So if you were talking about something today and you're waiting in line tomorrow and strike up a conversation with a stranger and they suddenly are talking about information that you were just talking about yesterday looking for or needing, don't just write that off as a funny story, but make note of the information, take action on the information. And I think that you'll find that the kind of connections you're wanting to make are going to happen synchronistically, like you'll just happen to be in the right place at the right time. So really trust your instinct. If you see something like, say, a workshop listing, and your intuition suddenly kind of tingles, your spidey sense tingles, going back to our superhero thing, and you know it just says, oh, this would be really good to take. Really pay attention to that and act on that rather than finding a reason to dismiss it or not do it, because that will put you in the right place at the right time to then connect with the right person that you wouldn't otherwise come across.
Wow, okay. That's really good advice. I really appreciate that.
And I pulled two cards for you from the Winged Spirit Tarot, and I pulled one for you and one for the other, and it's interesting. The card I pulled for you is the Six of Spheres, or the Six of Pentacles, and it's interesting that the six, since we've been talking about sixes and unequal relationships, and what this lets me know, in the image, the woman is, whose hand is filled with these sort of golden spheres, she's passing one to an angel, and what it's suggesting to me is that there have been some unequal relationships in your past, and also, you know, the way you worded the question also made me feel that that was probably the case, and that what you really need right now, or what could be really useful right now, is people who can help you take a little bit of the weight off and people who aren't adding more weight to your load in life, and that people who that you can also just literally the act of sharing, that you can share yourself with them. And it just from the way worded the question, it sounded like that a person in your life, that people you have relationships with, that they'd be able to connect with who you really are, and that you don't have to hide yourself, sounded important to me. And I kind of see that reflected in this card, that not to spend any time on people who can't let you feel comfortable in sharing who you are and what you're here to do with them, that that the relationship that's going to be successful is going to come from someone that you can feel natural around, and that they're going to sort of want to explore these sort of similar things with you. And so then I pulled one more card for the other, and I have good news. It was the Two of Cups, and in this deck, it's the Two of Cups is two dancers, and the male dancer is lifting the female dancer up into the air, and around her hair, there's a little Cupid flying. And so that lets me know that in this year of the lovers, you're going to be in relationships that lift you up and give you sort of the platform to not only just be yourself, but that's sort of just baseline, but to grow from that and to really evolve from that. And that because, you know, this is a dance, it's not just the idea that this is a person that's going to, all they're going to do is just support you in your quest. It's the idea of, like, you'll be able to dance with them and support each other. Mm-hmm. So watchwords for you this year, when you're in any kind of relationship, be romantic or otherwise, just something to kind of return to as a touchstone is, do I get the support that I need, and can I share myself with this person, or am I holding myself back, or am I hiding my light, you know, am I hiding my sort of candle flame from this person? And if the answer to those questions is that you can't share yourself, or that you feel like you're hiding yourself, don't spend any more time on them. It's just getting in the way of your process,
yeah,
and where you need to be. Does that resonate? Does that help at all?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly the reason for my departing this situation. I just felt like I couldn't be myself anymore, and I felt shackled, and I need to be me, mm-hmm, and I need to nurture and love. I have a lot of love in my heart. And I did meet somebody quite a few years ago, and just to let you know, he was gay, or is gay, and he changed my life so
we
incredibly.
Do that.
Yeah.
We also changed your living room.
Oh, I would love that. Why my living room needs a lift. But, I mean, there was nothing exchanged. I just saw something in his beautiful eyes, and I went looking to find out what had happened to me. Something happened to me, and it was all spiritual, and that's why I am here now.
Mm-hmm.
I never believed in tarot because I grew up Christian and everything, and it was something that I was not supposed to be going into, but this led me down this whole spiritual path just by having contact with this person. And it was just so beautiful. And I never even got a chance to tell him thank you.
Well, you still can. Oh, hopefully you still can. Or if you're not, you can.
I hope so. well, we lost
one other
contact.
Literal thing about this card, since they're dancing, my little piece of advice, you know, just on a literal level, is to go dancing, hit the clubs, find the one you're by. And then a great one for the ladies, go to the gay clubs. This guy could be her dance partner, that it's a platonic dance partner relationship, but it it's that it lifts her up. It makes her feel good in that moment and to feel special. And of course, not all the guys at the gay clubs are gay. So you know, it could happen. You can come in there. But just the idea of that uplifting, to be a little literal about this, sensation is what you needed, and kind of get away from anything that's really heavy. Like, let that be a part of 2012 that doesn't get carried in. So on this Friday, if you follow High C's advice about doing a bit of a ritual or maybe using fire, you can ask your angels or whatever you work with to burn up any ties to people that don't lift you up. Does that help?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. And yes, I have been doing that on new moons and full moons. So it really does help. So
I would suggest on the new moon, if you do something with fire, get some string, some different strings, and take the ends and tie a knot. And as you do that, visualize or say out loud that you're tying up all loose ends to the past and throw them into the fire. And visualize or say out loud that you are burning and severing all ties to the past that no longer serve you and would hold you back.
Wow, okay. That's excellent. I've never heard of that. But I will do that. That's perfect for right now. So that was a really good reading. It's good news for this year. Great, okay.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for calling in and for your patience during the show, waiting until we got here to do the reading for you.
Yeah, thank you. It was really enlightening. Thank you very much. You have a nice
Good.
Night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And so from there, from the southwest of the country, we will pop up just a little bit to Northern California, and we're going to speak to Camille, who is calling from Alameda, California. Are you there, Camille?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Camille. Oh, my goodness. It's been so long.
I know. It took me a little while to realize, wait, I think, that's Charlie speaking.
So from a tarot meetup that we go to in San Francisco called the San Francisco Tarot Cafe, and it's available on meetup.com. And Camille is an amazing tarotist, and she's an amazing reader of the Gummy Bear Tarot.
Yes.
We have many times read that at a gay bar.
Yes, we have. And now that same deck is being nibbled constantly by my 13-month-old, so.
Well, depending on which bar you're at, you don't even need a deck, because there's lots of gummy bears out there.
There you go.
For you tonight, my dear.
I'm good. I've got a little question. I'm being pursued by someone. His name is Eric. He is my next-door neighbor. And just wondering, what, if anything, the cards have to say about what's going on here? Is this someone I should be paying more attention to?
So, I pulled three cards, one for you, one for Eric, and then one to represent the dynamic or the relationship between the two of you, what's going on there.
Okay.
And first, I'm just going to tell you the cards, since it's been revealed in magical ways that you also are familiar with the tarot.
Oh.
I'm just going to tell you the cards first, because I think that just hearing the cards will speak volume.
Okay.
The card that came up for you is the World card. The card that came up for Eric is the Magician card. And the card that came up for the relationship between the two of you at this point is the Ace of Swords.
Okay.
So there seems to be a lot of indication that this would be something that would be both worthwhile, as I think extremely interesting, to pursue a little bit. That the Ace of Swords to me says that for both of you, there's either a new way of thinking about or seeing the other person that perhaps hadn't been there before, and or it seems as if something about what happens between the two of you opens your eyes or allows you to see or think about yourself and relationships in a new way. It gives kind of a new perspective on relationships, and maybe even opens up some like one deck I have calls the Ace of Swords consciousness. So there's a sense that there's something that is awakened in each of you as a result of what's happening between the two of you. It'll probably be a very communicative relationship with that Ace of Swords. I think that you will stimulate each other's minds and, you know, conversation and intellectual things will be extremely relevant or a part of what happens between the two of you and how you connect. The World card for you is very interesting because on the one hand, the World card for me indicates completely letting go of and moving beyond fear. So it's stepping into something fearless and not afraid of the unknown versus saying, I'm just going to see what where this takes me and what this has to offer me. And, you know, that World card being the last card of the major arcana is kind of the completion of a phase or cycle. So whether that's this person allowing you to use that movie line, I think it was in Jerry Maguire or something, but you complete me.
Oh, goodness.
Or that it's just what you experience with this person helps to bring to closure and completion a phase or cycle of relationship experiences that you have been in and opens the door to new relationship experiences that may have not been obvious before this, or that you will see as kind of the next level or an outgrowth of what you've been through before. And the Magician card for him shows that he's kind of the magic man to open that door. It's like he has the open sesame to open the door and awaken something in you to see yourself, to see relationships in a new way, or to bring about that new perspective. So it would be very beneficial and worthwhile for you to at least consider and pursue this in some way. Because there's something for you to really gain, especially I think in terms of something eye-opening or consciousness-raising.
As a result of
the dynamic between the two of you.
Excellent. I grabbed three cards as well, but I just did them as a progression, just being like, okay, what happens if we follow this? And the first card, the Ace of Cups, came up, and I was like, ooh, okay, I think you are ready. You are good and ready for some love and emotions going on in your life. The Ace, it just seems so very full and maybe even a little too full. I think this is like before you guys get together, I think you personally have a lot of build up in the sort of love and romance part of your psyche. And I think there's a need to be loved and to be able to share this goblet with somebody and have drinks with him, first of all. But also, you know, this will be an interesting transition because then the cards move into fire. The next card is Judgment, which we talked about, Michael and the dragon. And so it suggested to me that there was some need to kind of close a door on a part of your life that you've been going through that hasn't included romance. Like there was a need and it's been fulfilled and it's time for you to sort of move from that and move on to better things. And I really love the third card is the Queen of Wands for you. And she is, of all the queens, she for me is the Queen of Sexy Times. She is in this deck she's an elemental of fire. And it's interesting. She's sort of the opposite of that big overflowing cup of water. She's ready to burn all that up and turn it into some steam. So I think that there's potential here with this neighbor for some very gratifying physical experiences going on. It's even as old as the Marseille Tarot. The Queen of Wands has been identified as someone who's very frank with her sexuality and very straightforward with it, and she's the card that usually is looking the viewer in directly in the eyes. So I think that this could awaken some fires that have been dormant, and that could be helpful. I don't know if like that's a card of the two of you having something lasting, but I think it'll be good for you at the very least. Does that resonate with you, or?
You know, okay, it resonates in that he does come by with wine. And the other night, maybe Sunday night, he came by and he accidentally, on purpose, left behind a very large crystal wine goblet. So there's
right
that
there.
Text.
Literal.
Yeah. Yeah, quite literally. And the other night he says, oh, drink from my glass. Well, I'm not drinking from your glass because I'm not going to drink from your Ace of Cups. Okay, come on. So, but yeah, I didn't say that. But so that does resonate. So we do have someone. Sexy time, I don't know. I've got a 13-month-old running around, so I'm not quite sure how to
well,
work
that just
in.
Knowing that about your life and you mentioning that, that might have been put on hold for a while. Mama, and so.
Well, why does having a 13-month-old prevent sexy time?
She doesn't go to bed.
Yeah, but you have the convenience that he's right next door.
That is true.
So you know,
you're ready. We're ready
if
for
he,
some
if
transition.
He goes to bed at 11, then you pop next door.
You're funny.
Well,
take the baby monitor.
I know exactly what you mean. Okay.
I'm gonna on the adventure, and
okay.
So come over with a candle. He came over with a cup and asked you to drink from his cup. Go over with a candle and tell him you need him to light your fire.
Okay.
And look at him directly in the eyes as a Queen of Wands would when you say that. And then tell us what happened.
I love it. Okay. Thank you very much.
I hope that helped.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it did. Okay.
Thank you for calling in and for being patient.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Sure. And
okay.
Enjoy your sexy time.
Yes.
I sure will. Thank
there
you.
Are things, there are things called babysitters. I'm just tossing
ideas. Oh, I know.
Pisces volunteer.
Charlie, you could volunteer.
Could volunteer too. I could do my bit for God and country and babysit while you get what you need and light your fire. So we will arrange
Thank
that
you.
After the
you.
Podcast.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
And so from lovely Northern California, we now travel all the way across the country to Philadelphia. And we are going to visit with Antoinetta. Are you there, Antoinetta?
Hi. Yep. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. And thank you for holding on and waiting. Before we start, I just want to mention to anybody listening, we may run a little bit long. So the live stream may cut off at 10 o'clock. If you want to listen to the rest of the show, you can always hear it in the archives here on the Blog Talk Radio site. Or you can download it as a podcast from iTunes. Just search Firefly Willows Live or the Amethyst Oracle, and it'll pop right up. But if you're in the phone queue, that's not going to hang up on you or anything. You'll still get your reading. But just if you're listening to the show live, I just wanted to forewarn you that if the stream cuts off, it may do that at 10 o'clock, but you can always go back and listen. So what is it that we can look at for you tonight, Antoinetta?
I would like to know if you see Daniel making a commitment to me anytime soon in the future to be in a committed relationship together.
Okay. So I pulled three cards, just like I did for the previous person, since this is a relationship question. One for you, one for the other person, Daniel, and one for the relationship itself.
Okay.
And, you know, I will say that there is some nice indication here. The card that came up for Daniel is the World card, which actually just came up a minute ago as well. And that is a card, the first 22 cards of the deck are called the Major Arcana, and they represent major phases and cycles. The World card is the last card of the Major Arcana, so it represents the completion of a phase or putting the last piece of the puzzle into place to form the whole picture. So there does, there seems to be a sense that he is is getting to a point where he's ready to feel some sort of completion or closure, or to put that piece of the puzzle into place, to finish
okay.
the picture, if you will. And
okay.
the card that came up for the relationship itself is the Justice card. Now, that can be a very literal card, because think about like going to Justice of the Peace kind of thing.
Right.
So it can often come up to indicate something like legalizing something. So there does seem to be an indication that this relationship is moving towards legalization, or whatever it is that marriage would mean to you.
Okay.
Now, for me, the Justice card represents Libra. So that may be when, that wouldn't necessarily be when he would like ask or talk about making this official, but that
mm-hmm.
may be when it would happen, or it would be a good time to think about it. So Libra is like September, let's just roughly say September 20th to October 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Libra, Scorpio. You know, so if you just want to kind of think October, then...
So does that card also represent that he could be giving me an engagement ring as well?
Well, yes, because that World card would be like... Actually, the World
okay.
card is often seen with... Because there's a circle around the figure in a lot of the images.
Okay.
So, and there's a sense of, actually, when I talk about the World card, a lot of times it's about standing on the threshold and preparing to step across it into the next phase of life. And so, you
okay.
know, if you think of the cliche of carrying somebody over the threshold, there seems to be a lot here that's indicating this is the direction things are going.
Okay.
That towards finalization, legalization, officialdom, you know, whatever term you want to use there. And, you know, it may not be rushed, but I would think if there needs to be an engagement happening before a marriage, then
right.
that may happen fairly soon, with the Justice card indicating that the relationship seems to be officialized.
Okay.
Around that October time frame, around that Libra time frame.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done, Heisey. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The same card that came up for you, Antoinetta, was the reversed Ten of Wands. And when that card comes up reversed, meaning it's upside down when I drew it,
okay.
That indicates that there's like a weight that's lifted off your shoulders. And
wow.
You know, so I would say that you don't need to be worrying so much about this, and that you
okay.
can feel lighter, because, and also reversing that card says it's not your responsibility to make this happen. So just relax. And it seems as if he's on his way to making that happen. So you don't need to be taking on any responsibility of trying to do something to make it happen.
It's interesting. I pulled a card for each of you, and the card I had for you is the Seven of Pentacles, which we talked about earlier in the show. Heisey mentioned it, but to remind, it's a card of like a slow period, or a period when things feel very tense because we're waiting for like the results and it's not coming.
Right.
If you think of like you planted,
that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's sort of it's incredibly stressful, because you're like, I just want flowers, but I'm looking at stems. But then the card I had for him was another Seven, and it's the Seven of Swords. And no matter what his goal is, he's not sharing his plan with you. He's not he's not bringing you in. And I feel like he's very conflicted, and that even just sharing the plan, even when the plan is good, I think that there's a okay. You don't have to take this on, but for me, looking at these cards, it seems like in general, he has some serious communication issues. And even
yes.
when the plan is good, he doesn't share it with you.
yep.
Which, you know,
and he seesaws back and forth. He dips
yeah.
his toe in the water and runs away. And I got to like, okay, why isn't he
yes.
communicating
and so
now? And if I try to text him or try to you know, hey, why aren't you talking to me? That's bad, because then he just barks right back at you and you're getting 20 feet further away from him. So when he's not communicating, it's best to leave him alone.
Yeah, it seems like for him, that sort of hiding his hand, you know, hiding his
yeah,
moves.
Yeah, and see, he's
seems
a
like
cancer.
It seems like, oh, they walk sideways, don't they? But it seems like for him, this is a safety issue. Just my take on the cards, looking at this. Like, for him, he feels safe when only he knows the game plan, and that's stressful. Okay. So I pulled a card asking, like, well, what can she do? Because it's one thing to tell him, to tell you, you know, what you already know, but what can you do? And I got the Ace of Swords, which it's in a communication card, but and some communication needs to happen, and it's not going to happen with beginning with like text messages or anything that's sort of offhand. There needs to be like a sit-down conversation where it's expressed that the Ace of Swords to me is so much about the truth, and the most important thing is that just tell me the truth, and when you're ready to have that conversation fully, we could be fully present. I would sort of hold off on texting right now, but just sort of letting him know that, you know, whatever the plan is, whatever is going on, it will put me at ease. And I think of the Ace of Swords and that Justice card that Hi-C pulled, that, like, it's not fair to kind of to keep me, you know, waiting in the wings. And I need some truth. And also, whether you tell him or not, I would recommend sometimes the Ace of Swords is a decide when to cut and clear. So kind of for your own timetable, for yourself, whether you share it or not, just sort of decide at which point to be clear of this. And that way it makes the ability to kind of withstand the waiting game a little bit better when you have in your mind a date by which, like, it'll be time to free yourself from the situation. Hi-C mentioned Libra, so maybe it's this fall, but there has to be a time when, you know, the truth for you will be that you need to be free of this. But right now it's more important that just that the lines of communication start, because when those aren't clear, when you have a Seven of Swords situation, which is kind of someone trying to be foxy and tricksy, it creates this sort of dis-ease for everyone, and we're left kind of inventing in our minds all these other things that can be going on and inventing other motives. Just in general, I'm not saying that that's what you're doing, but that can be indicated by the Seven of Swords.
Yeah,
that
that's what I'm doing.
We write the rest of the story. Go ahead, Hi-C.
Well, and sometimes Seven of Swords can indicate paranoia, and so that may apply to him on one level, because it could show that he's like, quote unquote, paranoid that he's being rushed or pushed into something. And, you know, so it's okay to come to somebody and say, I need a plan. I mean, the Ace of Swords would say, and the Justice card would say, it's okay for you to go and communicate to him, you know, I really want to know what I'm planning for. But make it clear that it's not you want to start planning for a wedding next week. You want to start thinking about, talking about, and even planning for the next stage or the next level of the relationship. And if that is marriage plans, that's okay. You can get engaged and not get married for a year or a year and a half or whatever. But, you know, that may help to alleviate some of his worry that everything is being, you know, rushed, or that he's being pushed into something, versus seeing it as, oh, it's just saying we're engaged, but that doesn't mean we're getting married tomorrow. So that may help him to relax a little bit.
But you all feel that he's thinking about engagement with me?
Well, based on the cards that came up for me, I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's conflicted, and to him, some people love to be absolutely certain. Absolutely certain. And in relationships, is there ever an absolute certainty? No, but so he might be waiting. But, and also I think he's trying to keep things on his own timetable. And that's unfair.
Right.
I think that's the unfair thing. And
I just want to make sure I'm not wasting my time dating this guy if this ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, so I guess for me, I would pick the date by which, like, the sword has to be. And I would even draw on my calendar, whatever that date is, a sword, you know, and just write on, like, on the calendar, this is the date at which I have to liberate myself. And you don't have to tell him, because that might be pushing him, but, like, just know for yourself. I pulled in one more card, and it's funny, I got justice, so it just came up again. So it just, to me, is, like, for yourself, like, when is too, you know, enough, and, like, and I, having that date on the calendar and then doing your very best to abide by it and, like, cut and clear after that date will be helpful. I don't know, that's not a very helpful tarot thing to say, but that's what came up for me.
Okay.
Anything else I see here?
Nope, that's it.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank good you, luck. Antoinetta. And
all right, and have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Where's your next, Heisi?
Well, let me just tell you, everybody waited until like 5 minutes before the show was to end to call in. Suddenly there's three more people waiting. Can you believe it? They just
I can believe it.
So I haven't talked to these people yet, so I don't know where we're going to. It'll be like an exciting adventure where we're just throwing a dart at the map to see where we end up. So is this someone calling from area code 646? Hello, area code 646. Are you there? And I guess they are not.
Yes.
Oh, you are.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Kayla and I'm calling from New York.
New York. I'm sorry, what was your name?
I'm calling from New York.
And what was your name?
I'm Kayla.
Okay. And what is it that we could look at for you tonight?
Yes, I'd like to know, what do you see for me and Sean for the new year?
All right. It is the night of relationships. Boy, that lover's year has just kicked off in full force, hasn't it?
It really did. So let's see what comes out.
Yes. I know it seems like we suddenly stopped talking. It's because we're both shuffling.
And Happy New Year to the two of you.
Well, thank you. Welcome to 2013 to you as well. Hopefully you had a good celebratory but drama-free holiday.
Hey, right. Interesting. So I did a three-card spread sort of based on the lover's card. And the card for Sean, you said it was Sean, right?
Yes.
Sean I got was the King of Swords, which is sort of like this is going to be a year when he's in the lead in some way. He's sort of directing things to be the King of Swords. He's kind of taking a longer view of things and sort of kind of acting as sort of in certain ways like coach or in some ways judge. But the card for you I got was the Tower, which the Tower card often comes up when life situations are going to kind of be reversed and we have to free ourselves from something from the past. So is there an experience that you're hoping to leave in 2012 and be free of in 2013 in your life? Does that sound like it resonates at all?
Kind of, yes.
A little bit? Okay. It looks like this year moving forward, there's a need to, you're going to need some space and you're going to need some time to make some, right? It looks like large changes in your life, looking to rebuild certain things, and he is going to be useful in that. The final card is the Three of Spheres, and it's in this deck. It's a female woman and a male angel working together, and they're sort of balancing these three spheres and building something. So this actually, although the King of Swords and the Tower card are kind of scary in love readings, ultimately, this is great because it's the two of you
his sort of wisdom kind of comes up here, and his sort of guidance will be helpful. And sometimes the King of Swords types don't seem to be emotional in the ways we might like, but it looks like you guys are building something together, and you're building something that's new and more uniquely suited to you, and that this will be refreshing. And it looks like, from the layout of the cards, is that the differences in your personalities are going to really complement each other in the future. Where there might have been bumps before, it's sort of like these are now going to be kind of strengths. Does that resonate at all?
Interesting.
Am I kind of going down the sundry path? Or?
Well, I feel so, but I'm open to the energy. So when you said about the Tower, the King of Swords, in regards to the lovers, it's kind of scary. I laughed because
the traditional love cards, but I feel like it kind of comes together. I feel like this relationship will be in 2013 is going to move from just being in the sort of the relationship sphere of your life and kind of permeate throughout the rest of your life. Does that make sense?
Really?
That's my take on the situation. But maybe High C has some different cards to look at.
Well, I think it's interesting that none of the cards that came up for Charlie, and of the cards that came up for me, none of them are really in the love realm traditionally, which would be the Suit of Cups. There is a cups card for me, but it's reversed, so it kind of takes the emphasis off of the fact that it's a cups card. And there seems to be more of an emphasis on communication and the practical aspect of what the relationship means, and needing to deal with the more external, mundane, worldly things rather than the emotional component right now. So the card that came up for Sean, for me, was the reversed King of Cups, meaning it was upside down. So for Charlie, it was the King of Swords. And for me, it's the reversed King of Cups. So there's a lot here that seems to be about not so much the emotional component, but there's more of a intellectual exercise going on his part of trying to understand, figure out, or strategize what this means, what this is, what this needs to be, how this needs to work. And for you, the card that came up is the Ace of Wands. And so on the one hand, cups is water for him, and fire is wands for you. So we have fire and water. But one, you'd want to be careful that you don't come on too strong. Because Ace of Wands, you can really, it's like, oh, look, I have a match. Let me find a can of gasoline. So you have a very strong personality and can probably move things along from an ember to a bonfire very quickly. Of course, sometimes you want to be careful about temper or rushing to judgment or anger or that kind of thing with the Ace of Wands. But Ace of Wands can also be very exciting because it shows aces are about the new, and wands can be about a renewed or a new passion, kind of getting fired up about something. I would almost look at this and say that there's a strong sexual attraction, but there still seems to be confusion over whether there's true emotional connection underneath the attraction that's going on. And Five of Wands reversed comes up in the position of the relationship. And when that card reverses, it often says not to struggle with something. So on the one hand, it says don't fight this feeling. It kind of wants you to give in to the passions, but not worry about whether it's becoming something more. Or not to worry about the deeper stuff versus just going with the passion and the fire for right now.
It,
Do you find any interesting connections there, Charlie, based on the cards or you?
Well, you know, it's interesting that, yeah, like, we think of, like, the traditional, like, love cards and who would be an ideal lover. And reversed Kings of Cups and Kings of Swords don't tend to be them, but they're also very strong in their own way, and they have strong personalities. And I think of the reversed King of Cups being able to be a great therapist type.
Well, yes, although it can indicate that there may be some unhealed wounds that he needs to deal with before being able to engage in a healthy relationship. And I will say that one concern I would have with the reversed King of Cups and with the King of Swords coming up for Charlie's cards, there may be a concern about some sort of an addiction or addictive behavior that needs to be dealt with and brought under control before trying to move forward with the relationship. And it's much more on his part. We see that you really want it. but on the one hand, you have to be careful you're not getting attracted to the bad boy. And on the other hand, that you're not getting attracted to the wounded child that needs to be fixed and saved, versus him doing his own work to start recognizing and working on making himself healthier so that he can come into the relationship as healthy as possible and as equal as possible.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Hope that was helpful.
It was helpful. So if we were to do an analysis of both readings together, would you say that this is not, you just have to feel things out? Is that?
It's definitely not an easy relationship in the coming year. And it's sort of, there's potential within that sort of the challenges there for to build something greater, but the path there looks like it could be frustrating. Does that make sense? Or because I pulled one more card, I'm like, what was pulling? I pulled one more card to sort of ask, sort of, what could she do right now? What could what at this time could be helpful for the relationship? And I got the Three of Swords, which is a card about healing from pain and letting go of pain from the past that is hurting us now. And I see. What do you think? Three of Swords. Like,
I think it speaks to long-standing wounds that either there are still some unresolved issues that have not been healed or dealt with that would create a very unhealthy relationship environment between the two of you, or there are still old relationships that have not been completely severed. So either someone is still in the picture or a divorce hasn't gone through or whatever, but there still seems to be something about past relationship or relationships, and whether those are physically present or whether that's emotionally still present, that really needs to be both healed and put behind before putting a lot of effort into trying to move this relationship forward. Otherwise, it's going to kind of sneak up on you and cause problems in the future. You know, if you can rein it in, that Ace of Wands for you, really, the concern is that we don't have a lot of impulse control with the Ace of Wands. And so, and we can rush into something without thinking, even though we saw the warning signs, and then wonder why we're dealing with issues later. When we, if we look back, we would realize, oh, well, maybe if I had taken this slower or paid attention to the warning signs or whatever, I wouldn't find myself in this place. So I would just caution you about moving too quickly or moving too impulsively in the relationship. And I really think, I mean, there may be some things you need to work on for yourself, but I really think for him especially, there are some festering are still open wounds that he hasn't properly dealt with so that they can be put in the past and that they would come back to haunt or affect the relationship between the two of you in a very negative way.
And you guys are so, so, so accurate, because literally we both have, I guess, old relationships that we have to deal with, you know, emotionally, to close the chapter. I mean, it's closed, but then it's not closed. So you're definitely accurate in that respect, feeling the pain. I know for myself, I've been going through the process, you know, before I met him, in regards to, you know, getting rid of that energy that I was with, I mean, with the person that I was with, put it that way. But, yes, Ace of Wands, I could see the fire, but it's also a matter of definitely taking my time.
Mm-hmm. And the tower, thinking of the tower and then the three of swords in my spreads, looks to me like the tower is sort of freeing yourself from a prison. And when you do that, the three of swords is when a wound has sort of closed badly. Like, it's like the wound heals while there's still a dagger in our body. Like, we can move around, but it hurts. We're not dead, but we feel that pain because we kind of left it inside of us. You know what I mean? So it's sort of not been released. It's sort of like, yeah, the image of like we just sort of became comfortable with that hurt and we've identified with it, so we can't let it go. And that will be helpful. Not easy, but helpful.
And the tower card is often that it's kind of that aha moment where we have a sudden insight or like the light bulb goes off. So really pay attention when that happens for you. So if you like hear him say something or see a certain behavior and, you know, inside for you, like a light bulb goes off and you go, oh, wait a minute. I recognize that behavior. Or, oh, now I see why he's acting this way because of something he just said that indicates something from the past that he still hasn't resolved or whatever. Really pay attention to those flashes of insight, to those aha moments, because those are going to be both extremely revelatory, but also they're there to really give you information and perhaps warning that is needed to help rein in some of that impulse that you are struggling to control.
Well, it's true. Pardon me. It is true. I do see certain things with him. That I saw, well, one thing in particular that I saw with my ex in regards to communication, and like I brought it up briefly, but I didn't go into depth about it. But I, you know, of course, I put it, made a mental note of it, and I'm in it with my eyes wide open.
Well, that's good. And the Five of Wands reverse that came up for me for the relationship says, because Five of Wands is about a struggle. And when it reverses, it says, if something seems to be a struggle to make happen, to move forward, to make work, the reversal says it's not really worth the energy. It's not worth the struggle. So if you feel as if it becomes a burden or that you have to put a lot of energy into something and it feels like a struggle to really make it happen, to get somebody on board, to get them to communicate or whatever, take that as an insight, as a warning sign that if you find yourself thinking it's not worth the energy, it's not worth the fight, it's not worth the struggle, that's the time and the indication for you to understand that it's time for me to let this go or to move on rather than to keep trying to force it.
Right. I don't really think I'm trying to force anything.
Maybe not at the moment. But that may be there just to say, watch for this. And if you feel that or see that, that will be your clue or your indication. It doesn't have to be right now, but also it says, don't try to push this. Just kind of relax and see how it unfolds and what it wants to be. And if it feels as if you're really struggling to make it happen, to move it forward, then take that as the warning sign.
Okay. I have a question. What is his energy towards me? Like, I already understand the energy in regards to if we were to be in a relationship, because it's fairly new. It's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's several months old. We've just met, and we're learning more about each other, and that's something that I mentioned to him as well. I'm like, well, you know, we're still learning about each other. So everything takes time. Everything, I'm an earth sign, so everything for me takes time.
Yeah.
And I when you asked that question, I pulled a card, and it was the World. So the earth sign, it can be a little intimidating. You said you asked, like, what is his energy toward you? Do you mean by that question sort of how do you appear to him, or do you mean, how do you mean?
Well,
what's his intention?
How does he feel about me?
So the World, so you're to him a very complete person, and you're a very sort of, the World card in this deck is represented as Shekinah, which is like the female face of God, like the female, like the complete sort of totality of the divine. So that's kind of intense. You're the most complete person he's probably ever come across, and that can seem a little intimidating, but for this card to appear, I think that he's looking for someone who has their stuff together. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And like, well, and you have that.
Okay.
I hope.
Are you a Gemini?
My rising sign is Gemini, so I put that out there a lot.
Okay, because I picked that up. That's why I was like, that was cute. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. I know it's really late for you.
Yeah, it's late, but I'm a night owl. But I'm going to take my time and one day at a time. You guys, thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And hopefully we'll hear a little update at some point in the future.
Thank you.
All right. Have a nice evening.
You too. Thank you.
So what do you say, Charlie? Shall we continue on? Shall we press forward?
Shall we press onward in Excelsior? Sure. Is there a cutoff at some point? Or?
Yeah, it'll only go up until 11. So.
Okay.
Hi, this is the Amethyst Oracle. Are you calling in for a reading tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can I ask what your name is and where you're calling from?
My name's Evelyn, and I'm calling from California.
Well, welcome to the show, Evelyn. Thanks for calling in. What is it that we can look at for you tonight?
Oh, I'm kind of nervous. I'm just kind of curious about relationships, but specifically on two of my former exes. They were both of them fiancés, and I think about them a lot, and just curious to see if the one I really want to know if he has feelings for me is my ex, Alex, and I think about him a lot. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get back together, but I just wonder if he ever loved me or if he just took me as a fool.
Okay.
Well, the first thing I want to say is don't be nervous. You're just having a conversation with friends on the phone.
There we go. What was the first person's name? The first?
Alex.
So the card I drew for him is the Knight of Cups. And Knights of Cups. So the first, to answer your question, did he ever love you? Yes. The challenge with Knights of Cups is that they can be restless, and they can be kind of emotionally selfish. They seem like the ultimate romantic. They seem very dreamy and sort of mysterious, and they can kind of be the sort of brooding lover type that it draws us in, but they can be also very caught up in their own process and their own search for love. And so they... Knights, you know, on their horses, they tend to want to move on to the next thing and keep searching. They're kind of that questing spirit. So it looks like yes, but he wasn't in a place where he could be established and settle down. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, and knights also tend to be an adolescent, so they can be very immature to some extent, but also there's a sense of kind of they're still sowing their oats and finding their way, figuring out who they are and what they want. So it may have been that when you were in relationship with him, he still wasn't really very mature or grown up emotionally to know exactly what he was looking for or what he needed from a relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think he was immature. I think he feared commitment because he was married before, and I think he feared failure.
Well, and that can also be part of that immaturity emotionally of not really knowing what he wants. Like there may not have been because on the one hand I would wonder if there was kind of a rebound relationship situation going on with you. But he may not have taken the time to learn from what he went through in his previous marriage to look at himself and figure out what he really wanted and needed from a relationship, as well as how he could come into a relationship and what he has to offer as well. So it's not so much that he took you for a fool as he did more of, You were a guinea pig for him. You know, it's like, I've gotten out of this situation. Now let me start trying again and see what it's like with somebody else and what happens there. And it's not that there was ill intent towards you. It was just immature and not really thinking about it before getting into it and not really taking into consideration how it might impact the other person.
Oh, wow. I thought about that. I was thinking, did he still love his ex and was just using me to forget about her? So I'm glad you pointed it out. I kind of had a gut. It was probably that.
And that's what I meant by a rebound situation. It's like, it's not, it's more, here's something that is different from what I was in. So let me go into that. Because, again, with pups, sometimes you worry about addictive behaviors. And there it can even just be an addiction to love, an addiction to relationship. You know, but it's like somebody, I need companionship. I need somebody in my life. And now I'm getting out of a marriage. I need somebody in my life kind of thing. That's not exactly healthy because they're putting a lot of expectation on the other person. But that may have been what he was experiencing or how he was coming into a relationship with you.
Do you feel that he will be coming back and asking for just apologizing for, you know, is that or is
the cards that I pulled would indicate no. There's a sense that he basically moved on. He's made his break. He's severed his connection with whatever was happening between the two of you, and he has moved forward in his life and isn't really looking back or thinking backward in that regard of, do I need to make amends, apologize, or whatever. So don't wait for that.
Yeah, okay. I pulled one more card just sort of asking, like, what can you do now to move forward into something better. And I got the Six of Cups, which so interesting. Tonight's been all about sixes and that lover's kind of idea. But the Six of Cups often is, and in this deck especially, it's about putting aside nostalgia. Sometimes in the Six of Cups, it indicates looking back on the past as if the past was so wonderful because the present seems so bleak. When, for me, with the Six of Cups, and in this card, the couple has to decide to sort of cross a line and move into the future. It's holding you back a little bit, the focus on the past relationships, and that's natural. It's absolutely natural when, you know, relationships don't pan out that we kind of sort of look back on them maybe with a little bit of rose-colored glasses, but here in the Six of Cups, it's sort of saying, like, it's time to
move
forgive.
On.
Yeah, forgive, and then allow people to not have a hold on you and not let these people sort of, because it feels like even without them knowing they're doing it, they're holding you back from accepting new love and finding new love because of sort of the presence in your mind and your psyche. So I'm wondering, so the Six of Cups to me represents that the first step for you is sort of recognizing that the relationships of the past were, as we've been talking about with sixes, unequal relationships, and that you deserve better. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's so much stuff. You're right. I think about the past too much, and I'm like, I don't know why. I'm like, it's not like he was the greatest guy, but I sure do.
Well, I sure do, too. That's why I'm able to see that. And one thing I want to suggest is to give yourself a verbal cue. With the Six of Cups, I often, like, it's one of those cards where it's easy to kind of get stuck in a place. So if you feel yourself thinking about the past, giving yourself something that you can say, possibly even out loud, that's just sort of like, well, that's over with, or I'm glad that's done, or the hell with him, whatever it is, like, just allow yourself, and, like, you know, in the beginning it's going to feel like you're forcing yourself, but with the Six of Cups, like, if you ever, like, find yourself spending more than a minute thinking about one of these guys, just try that cue and see if maybe that helps. I know I've done that in the past when I've had, like, a Six of Cups situation. Does that make sense?
I will do that. Thank you. Do you see, like, any new potential romantic partners? I mean, I'm 30 and I don't have any children. I'm not married. And I'm like, I think I want that. I want that, you know, family and marriage and going on yards. Oh, do you feel any compatible mates will maybe come along?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I grabbed one card when you said that, and I crossed my fingers and hoped
that. Oh, thank you for that.
But I got the King of Coins, the King of Pentacles. He's the an older, very mature gentleman. He's the opposite of, like, a Knight of Cups. So this is a family man. This is a family-minded man. And he's established. He can seem a bit slow. Sometimes King of Pentacles are sort of boring and slow. And but they are sturdy. And they have a strong sense of balance. And they don't always say what they feel. They don't always share their feelings. But Kings of Coins are willing to put in the work and commitment. So then the guy who's right for you, once you can let go of those sort of the guys who weren't able to make a commitment, is an older-seeming gentleman. Uh-huh. And he might literally be older than you. And I act like with the King of Coins, I would say open yourself to the possibility of older guys. And him being 40
is my limit.
40 is your, no, it's good to have a limit, but, like, older could be a thing. But your watchword right now is solid. You need a guy who's solid. So use that word as your litmus test. Like, is this guy solid?
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very, very much. You guys are great. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for calling in.
Alrighty, I'll just keep listening to you guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right, what do you got for me, Hi C?
Well, Charlie, I think we have done it. We have gotten through everyone.
We have arrived at...
Yes.
At wisdom.
That's right. We have arrived at the end, which is just the beginning.
Oh, damn. Damn false apocalypse. Well, it's been a lovely show. I learned a lot about love, and I learned a lot about superhero guys with fabulous abs, and I crave a vampire tarot deck with some of my favorite WB stars. Oh, not WB, what is it? CW stars.
CW.
CW.
Once again, you give away your age.
I'm not dating myself with that. Actually.
I'm anxious for a True Blood.
True Blood
deck as well, because everybody will be naked.
Who would Alcide be in your True Blood tarot deck?
Alcide can be naked on every card.
That's
he can just be in the background sometimes, hovering around. You know, there's no reason for him to have to be just one thing as long as he's naked in everything.
in that sense.
So I just want to remind people that they can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/theamethystoracle. And you can also follow us on Twitter at @TheBigAmethystO. And our next show for the Amethyst Oracle is on Tuesday. It's always the second Tuesday of each month. So the next show will be on Tuesday, February 6th, 8 p.m. Pacific. And who knows, we might even talk a little more about love on that show as well.
It might how it's, come up.
It's at least the hallmark month of love.
Valentine's Day, there you are. So.
And we might talk a little bit about something called Pantheacon, just a little sneak peek at that. We'll just tease you with that. You'll just have to figure out or listen to find out what Pantheacon actually is. And so I will look forward to being here with you in a month, Charlie.
I look forward to being here.
And I want to encourage everyone to also check out the other shows on the Firefly Willows Live channel. Just here on blogtalkradio.com/Firefly Willows Live. Every Sunday morning at 10:30, there's a show. First Sundays is Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn. Second Sundays, which is the Sunday coming up, is Revolution with me, High C.
That one's my favorite.
Well, that's not surprising. And third Sundays is Convergence with John Caracella. And fourth Sundays is a live call-in show where you can get readings as well. So check out some of those shows. And there's also, as you heard during the show tonight, there's a couple of other new shows that are getting ready to start in February. So check out the Firefly Willows LIVE blog talk page frequently, because there's more and more new shows and also shows that have been around for a while underneath that channel. And I think you might find some of them interesting. So thank you very much, Charlie, for joining me once again for this.
Well, thank you. And thank you to Kylie Minogue and Tina Turner for joining us tonight.
That's
live,
right,
in the studio.
Yes, well, you know, since we were coming from the football stadium, because we couldn't contain all the people that wanted to come and cheer on David Sexton, we thought we should have some bigger names, bigger stars to fill that arena.
That's right.
So, yes, a big thank you to them. And all I right. will look forward to being here with you on February 6th.
Take care.
Okay. See you then.
The Amethyst,
the Amethyst Oracle.
Divination with a queer twist.
Divination with a queer twist.
The Amethyst Oracle.
The Amethyst Oracle was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE.